Hey there, Caleb Wojcik here, and welcome to episode 91 of my podcast. I'm joined today by my wife, Jen. Jen, say hello.
Hello.
Perfect. So we're going to talk today about working from home. Jen and I have been working from home or virtually or on the road for almost 9 years now, I would say. I left my job at Boeing September 2011, and it's May 2020. So yeah, almost 9 years. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about what we've learned working from home, especially during this coronavirus pandemic. I know a lot of people have been talking about how to work from home, and there's been a lot of content about that. But Jen and I, having almost a decade of experience working together separately in the same space, originally it was smaller. Now we have a little bit more workspace at home to work from, but how working from home is different. So any initial thoughts of what it was like for us when we first started work from home after having traditional desk jobs or things like that?
I think when we first started working, it was a very unique situation because we were on the go. We were literally traveling the country and you were working remotely for someone as we did that. And I wasn't working. And then when we planted in California, we had to figure out very quickly how to work from a rather small apartment together.
And I think that we had both, in college at least, been very good at, you know, like figuring out what to work on and finding time to work on it and finding what work environment works best for you. And for me in college, that was rarely did I actually do schoolwork or homework in my dorm room. I always went somewhere. I went to like the quietest library I could find, which was the law school library, because people there were intense. And it was also like multiple floors up. Even if I went to the regular library, I would never work on the first floor. You might as well have just been like playing pickup basketball. That's how loud it was in there. So I knew how I could work best, which was go to a different place, go to somewhere without distractions. Don't be arm's reach away from video games and things like that. And I took that into my home environment, which was we got a 2-bedroom apartment and one of the rooms was my office and you worked in our like master bedroom basically.
Right. And I have a very different requirement for my physical space. When I was in college, I roomed with my best friend for 3 years and love her so much, but she has music going all the time. She's got usually like a TV show or a movie on, or she's, you know, at the time was talking to her, you know, boyfriend. And like there was always a distraction, people going in and out of our rooms. And I would study and write papers in my room. I would rarely go to the library. I would only go to the library if I needed something like a specific resource at the library. But I also grew up in a rather loud house. So I think I'm just kind of able to somehow dampen what's going on around me and focus more than I would say you are. You need that quiet.
Yeah. Versus I was the youngest child. So by the time I got into more serious school stuff, maybe I was the only kid at home.
Maybe.
And yeah. I also did my schoolwork at school. So when I got home, I could play video games. So
priorities,
I
don't know.
But,
you know?
But my roommate in college, Tyler, he would do that. He would sit on our futon. Futon, you have to have a futon in college.
Yeah.
And he would study for hours at night.
Yeah.
And like I would go and study for like 20 minutes.
Because
I feel like it was like really focused and that's how I absorbed the information and that I can move on to something else. Versus he would sit with his book open, be reading it, kind of watch us play Guitar Hero or Halo or watching sports or whatever. And he would do that all night.
Yeah.
And it's just like a different kind of way that he learned and how I learned. And I feel like you have to kind of find the way you work best.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say. All of that to say, when we found ourselves in the situation of working from home together, I would say that you and I are both very disciplined people. So getting our work done or making sure that we are, you know, doing the things that we need to do every day was not really an issue for us. But figuring out how to work in the way that each of us needed to work was a challenge at first.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like you're saying, you need your own space. It needs to be quiet. Very often, like, the door even needs to be closed to the space that you're working in. Versus I like to have music on. I like to have some, like, windows open, or at least, you know, sitting next to a big window where I can kind of see, like, what's going on outside.
Putting on a show while you're editing photos,
right,
or something.
Yeah.
Like, so, how many times did you loop through How I Met Your Mother during wedding seasons
times.
And stuff?
So yeah. many times.
A show that you've seen before that
is right. just kind of company. Me company. Yeah. So when we first started, you were in the extra bedroom and we had set that up as your office. And I was in the master bedroom because I was just starting out, like, literally building my photography business from scratch. And I needed much less from my physical space than you did. And that's kind of just where we started. And I think there was a lot of trial and error over the years of figuring out our physical as well as mental space for each other. But that was definitely our leaping off point.
And that's the first main thing I wanted to touch on, is working from home is just different. Whether you're working for yourself from home, or you're working for a business, or your significant other is working and you're not working, or you're both working on the same business, and there are a lot of dynamics involved with that, where maybe one spouse or one person in the relationship is the boss and the other person is their employee, and there's dynamics with that. So we're going to talk more about some of the dynamics involved with working with someone else in the same space in the next episode, in episode 92. But in this one, I really want to focus on working from home and how it's different. So versus going into a job, a lot of the triggers or the routines are way different. You don't have to shower. You don't have to really get dressed. There's no commute. You don't have to be on time to clock in or clock out. There's no other employees sitting there looking over your shoulder to see if you're opening Reddit or browsing people.com or something like that.
That felt specific. I have an entertainment news problem.
Reddit. Can you explain what Reddit is? And I'll explain what People is.
Okay, Reddit is like, it's like a task management system where you get to go in and check off, like, yeah, I read that. I did that.
No. It's not two words. It's not read it. It's not like a list of things to read that you're like, I read that. I read that.
It's not.
No. Okay. That's Goodreads. Goodreads is like books and movies.
Okay.
Reddit is just like
literally I've never been on Reddit ever.
Forum news aggregator, people commenting thing. And people.com is where you go to read about people you don't know.
Yeah. More or less. You got it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are less people looking over your shoulder. There's no boss to say how you need to spend your time. And there are way more distractions because there's not just the unproductive things like television or video games or movies that you could just flip on or turn on when you need a break or want to just not work. There's also just the home distractions of, oh, well, I didn't make the bed and I have to clean up the kitchen and I have to empty the dishwasher and do laundry and all those types of home things. So for us, what was really important is if you can set some boundaries around the location in your home. So for you, Jen, that was just literally one of the smallest desks we could find that fit between a wall and our dresser.
Yeah.
It was a tiny little desk that you put your laptop on. And I didn't have one that was much bigger in another nook. It was just in another room.
Right.
And so that became where we worked. And I know some people work better on the couch or at the dining table or things like that. But for me, having a desk where I work is kind of like going to the office. It's kind of like commuting and like plugging into my desk at work. Was it similar for you, or did you find yourself working in other parts of the home?
I think it was similar for me. I think everybody works differently, and no matter who you are, whether like you're saying it is creating a desk space for yourself, or, you know, kind of taking over the dining table or sitting on a specific part of the couch and maybe setting up your side table with your things, having a space where you sit down and you are in a work frame of mind was, I think, very important for both of us. For me, I eventually struggled with the fact that I was working in our master bedroom. So I didn't really feel like I was leaving that particular room at all, because I would work there all day.
Yeah. Hours. You worked there for 8 hours.
Yeah. So that eventually became a difficulty, but just starting with this is my workspace and setting those physical boundaries of this is Caleb's workspace. He's in the other room working and not being in each other's physical space, I think was really important for us at the start. And it started kind of a cascade of us playing with like physical and just kind of other boundaries when it came to work.
Yeah. So things like time of day. So mm-hmm. working through, okay, I am going to be working from 8 to 4 or something, and you're going to be working from 10 to whenever, like mm-hmm. the timing, and not forcing the same hours we might have had at a desk job, not just sticking to 9 to 5 with a 30-minute lunch break, or like I was used to 7 to 3:30 working at Boeing.
Yeah.
And because you tried to kind of
I tried to keep up at first.
My preference would be to wake up and start working immediately.
You're very good in the morning.
Yeah.
And I am not very good in the morning. It takes quite a while for my brain to kind of turn on. And when I was working in an office situation, I would say maybe 2 hours before I would get into the office between my commute and breakfast and, you know, all the things between getting out of bed and sitting down at my desk. And I was ready to go at that point. So, but for you, you're very able to wake up, have a few minutes, and then literally sit down and go to work. So when we started working together, we initially tried to kind of put in place this schedule of, okay, we're going to wake up at X o'clock in the morning, we're going to work, we're going to be done for the day at whatever time. And I couldn't keep up with you. I couldn't do it. I couldn't wake up at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and sit down to work at 7. I was incredibly unproductive. I was really groggy. I was just slow to go. And we eventually realized that my body just doesn't function that way and that I wasn't getting anything done in those early morning hours that was productive anyway. So I would start sleeping till 7:30 or 8 and then get up and start working.
And that worked better for you, and something worked better for me.
Exactly.
And once we had a kid, that kind of all got thrown around. And now I don't work first thing. I wake up and I'm with our child for the first couple hours, 2 hours. And we do our own thing. And then you wake up when you normally do. And it's just kind of our structure and our cadence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of trying things and being open to switching them up. Because if you just are like, no, this is what I have to do. Like, this is how my job always was. And I still feel like I do that to a certain extent with Monday through Friday work schedules.
Yeah.
And part of it, I would say, is that on weekends, other people aren't working and we want to hang out with them. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, Jason and Caroline, Jason Zook, who is on a podcast episode, I don't know, 5 to 10 episodes ago, he and his wife, they kind of work every day.
Like, they very much create their own hours. They're not boxed in by like, this is Monday, therefore I'm going to. They'll be like, it's Saturday evening and I would like to, you know, I'm feeling work productive, so I'm going to, you know, do this kind of thing.
But they might overall work the same amount of time as someone else, but on weekdays they prefer to go out and do grocery shopping or go do something mm-hmm. where it's less busy. Because mm-hmm. if you only do the fun things on the weekend, pre-coronavirus, when you're allowed to go places, then it's crowded. And like they've, as entrepreneurs, they've come to the luxury of you don't have to go somewhere when everyone else goes there. You don't have to go to the beach on the weekends. You can go during the week or, you know, go to restaurants on Monday night when they're not busy kind of things.
And I would say that you're even at the mercy of, since a good portion of what you do is client-based, you're at the mercy of, well, all of my clients are working Monday through Friday regular hours, or switch pod related things are happening Monday through Friday. So
retailers are mm-hmm. active then, and Tim, who works with me and is editing this podcast, he keeps a Monday to Friday schedule most of the time. So I think you still kind of fall into those norms, but the hours of when you work, I think, in the amount that you work, you don't feel like you have to do an 8-hour day mm-hmm. or do more than that if you want to one day. And I still will get hung up on that where at 3 or 4 or something, I feel completely spent because I either recorded a bunch of stuff or like dealing with something client or retailer wise or who knows what. And I like will still make myself work till 5. I don't know why.
Yeah, you
like the worst boss.
Yeah, there's something in your head that you need to be working until 5 p.m. And you will very often, like 4 to 5, you can tell that you're done, that you're burnt out, but you will still stay in your office and kind of putz around on different semi-productive things until 5, where it seems like, you know, whoever, whatever boss is in your head is like, okay, you're done for the day. You can check out. Yeah.
He's a jerk. He keeps making me work. He's like, there's more to do. Stay at your desk.
Oh. Yeah.
That's his voice.
But you and I struggled to find hours that worked for us individually, hours that worked for us together as a married couple. And then at the beginning and through a good amount of us working from home, I was working weddings. So like I was working weekends as
Saturdays,
well. Yeah. So we would have trouble where my weekend would basically be like a Sunday, Monday. Or even like if I worked a double, my weekend would be Monday, Tuesday, but you were back at work and at your desk on Monday and Tuesday. So we were having trouble making time and space for us and our relationship, as well as making time and space for what we each needed individually from our respective jobs.
That's the other thing. If you work in a way that has a weird schedule, you know, you have to remember to still make sure you have your off days. And that would happen where I might have a conference and I'd go work a conference over a weekend and I would come back on Monday or Tuesday and I would just keep going. And so I would have worked Monday through the weekend all the way to the next Friday.
Right.
I'm like, why am I exhausted? Why am I should be able to work right now. And it's like, well, you worked like 10 days straight.
Yeah.
So those are the types of things to be aware of. And I think the thing you have to do is you have to be really strict about your calendar and you have to use it to your advantage to be like, I am having to work 3 nights this weekend for whatever projects I'm working on, or I have to work this weekend. So Tuesday and Wednesday are my weekend this week, and I'm going to guard it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to not feel guilty. And if I have to communicate to people I work with that that's the case, then that's what you have to do. Otherwise, you get burned out or you don't have downtime, and then you just kind of work at a lower average speed. Because I always feel like weekends are like filling up your gas tank. So you can't keep going the same speed all week if you don't refill your gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just get to empty earlier.
Yeah.
And you might end up driving 25 all week.
Yeah.
Instead of just taking the weekend off, recharging, and being able to go 70 miles an hour all week.
And I'd say that's a lesson that took – I think I'm more inclined to recognize when I need a break and I'll – take that break and rest. I think you have the capacity to keep going for a lot longer than I do. And you also feel very productive when you do keep going. It's hard for you to stop. And I think that's another thing that we also struggled with when you do work from home, and especially when you own your own businesses, you can always be working.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something for you to do. And it took us a while, even I think knowing ourselves as well as we do and the type of environments that we work best in, it did take us a while to realize that we didn't always have to be working. And especially for you, that you needed to refill your tank and you actively needed to carve out time to make yourself stop. Like put your phone in a different room. Don't bring your laptop upstairs. Do all of these little things to cue and signal you into I am not working today or this afternoon or whatever chunk of time you had decided so that you could, you know, regroup and rest.
Will you still ask me, are you done with work? And I kind of chuckled just now because no, I'm never done. I'm never done with work. I'm stopping work for the day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a phrasing thing
the
that I get caught up on.
Yeah, a different question.
No,
yeah.
I'm never done.
But
with
even
work.
that is an example of some of the boundaries that we put in place as the years went on, where I needed to check in with you because what did we used to call it? Like I was talking to work Caleb or I was talking to my husband Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, you have a very targeted and, direct way of communicating,
Kurt.
When you're working versus when you're talking to me as my husband. And I, at the beginning, was getting offended by the way you were talking to me during work hours because it wasn't as soft or like, you know, I don't know, curt would be a good word, where I was like, why are you being such an asshole right now? And then I realized, like, you were just being efficient, which is another word for you, like that you very much are. Like, you were moving through your day very efficiently, and you are giving me time and space and attention, but you were then on to the next thing, and that's just how you work. And it took me a while to realize that about you, but it also took us a moment to realize, okay, if I need to speak to my husband, Caleb, I need to communicate that to him. If it's fine talking to work, Caleb, then, you know, we'll move through it that way. But kind of realizing those are almost two different personas sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that I had kind of developed that working in like more of a stodgy corporate environment where it's like, this is work and you don't like...
There aren't niceties needed. Not niceties, right. But like, I don't need to fluff this up. I'm doing stuff kind of is more your approach of like, did we get to the nitty gritty of what we needed to accomplish in this interaction? Okay, great. Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it can either be seen as a waste of time or like too embellishing or even like flirting if it's with, you know, So it's like, it's just, do you have that thing? Thank you.
Right.
And that's the end. But
the reason I brought that up is over the years, we had to figure out how to overly communicate with each other during the workday so that, like you're saying, when I say, are you done with work? That's something we've developed and apparently need to change the verbiage of. But that's something we've developed through the years of, I know that you are in work mode right now. If you are not done being in work mode and I need to bring up something that's outside of work mode, then I'm not going to bring this up right now, kind of thing.
And this is just a preview of the next episode.
Yeah.
Of couples therapy style of how do you communicate
with spouses.
Yes, but
this, like, is still, you could, like, go down spouse road with that.
Even
absolutely.
If you work from home, but you have other people in your house, whether they're roommates
exactly.
or who else, that
yeah.
you're going to be like, hey, I'm working
right
now.
Like, I'm not giving you attention, but I'm focused and I'm going about my work day right now. And I would love to talk to you about that later. But right now I'm doing this. And that, yes, you could go down spouse road with that. But that's also me working over here and you working over there. We had to find a way to overly communicate about where we were with our task or our workday or, you know, insert complication there.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
And I think this definitely applies to more people now than ever before, because maybe you were the one working from home before and your spouse wasn't.
Yeah.
And they had a 9-to-5 or a job they commuted to or something like that.
Right. So
now they're in the home space, whether they're working or not, that's a distraction. There are new dynamics involved there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your kids are not in school right now
right. Because
of coronavirus. Or maybe you are housing with more people than normal, grandparents, who knows what.
Yeah, maybe you're all isolating together kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you were working from home very productively, and now maybe it's harder because
you've
got... Or
it's the reverse.
Yeah.
Where you used to be the person that went to an office, even if it was yours, or you went to a co-working space, or you worked at coffee shops all the time, and now you're forced to work from home when other people that were used to being at home... spouses, roommates, kids, whoever,
mm-hmm.
now are infringing on you being able to get work done. So I think boundaries are just a really important thing. So we talked about location.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually we moved you into the same office as me so that in that two bedroom, that room was the office. And then it was just a matter of if one of us has an important call mm-hmm. or I'm recording a podcast
Or I want
to
listen
client.
To music. I had to, you know, wear headphones because I wanted to and you didn't. But
the biggest thing I think is just communication. And
right.
that goes into the time of day thing we were talking about of like what are work hours and what aren't and what days you're working and what days you're not. Because we would constantly have work things that would come up because we were both running. Well, you were running your own business. I was working for someone else. And eventually I was running my own business. And so at all hours of the day at whenever in the home or out and about work, things would come up,
mm-hmm.
whether we were thinking about them or we got an email about a client that needed something or we were frustrated by something we couldn't figure out how to do or what have you. And we would have to ask, can I ask you a work question?
Which again goes back to that communication of I'm personally in this frame of mind right now, but you may not be. So can I break into, you know, your mental space with this right now, or would you prefer to not think or talk about work at the moment? Mm-hmm. I think that was really important to establish and took us some time, definitely. And it's not easy at all. Like, I think you and I both slip into it still, but we very actively try to more or less have work hours. And if something's happening outside of work hours, we try to preface any work talk with that question.
Just to make sure that the other person is either in the headspace where they want to talk about it or really doesn't want to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Specifically, if you're out on a date or something like that, we might sit down and be like, we're not going to talk about work right now.
Yeah.
And then you sit there for a minute and you're like, what are we talking about? But I mean, that's the cliche thing, but that's true. It does happen when you both work on the same businesses and things like that. It kind of tends to take over your life.
Yeah. And we can get into it next episode, but that's the nice part somewhat of over the last 10 years, we haven't just worked in the same physical space together. We've kind of worked in all shapes and forms of working together on something, me working for you, you working for me. Like, we've run the gauntlet, I think, of whatever work, like whatever form work can take with each other.
And I think that it's even harder with even the more recent years of something like Slack, where if you didn't open your email 7 years ago,
you could kind of hide.
Yeah.
Or even when we work and travel and we go on these 6 week long pre-coronavirus trips where
an international trip where we do no work. Right. I basically check in.
You basically
check
in.
Make sure things are
going well. There on those trips, there have been times where you need to do work things and we're on a completely different time zone. And it was so nice to be able to be sending emails in that time zone and then know that you've got your entire rest of the day while the people you're sending emails are sleeping and your day's not going to get interrupted.
Because we're in Europe or something.
Yeah.
And so I'll wake up, do work, and they're sleeping. And then I might come back for the day and then I would have gotten a reply.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
But like you're saying, you know, 7 years ago, you could just not open your email and you could hide for the day, essentially. But now with Slack and other forms of messaging, your day, you know, is more at risk of kind of getting hijacked depending on what's going on.
And for me, just to share how I'm using Slack, I think it would be helpful just for context is I have one Slack workspace for just internal. So that's really mainly just Tim and I, my editor, and then you're on there sometimes.
Yeah.
I have different channels for different clients and different projects and this podcast and that sort of thing. So we're tracking all of our communication that way in real time. And that's like an essential thing for Tim and I because we're in different states. Then I am also in a bunch of other ones for my clients, whether or not we have an active project going on right now. So one of them is very active all the time, every week, I would say. Others, maybe not until that part of the year when we do a project together. But I have other ones too. I have ones with a bunch of YouTubers. We have ones with your cousins. And so it's like I have to prune them and keep them to a small amount of Slack channels. Otherwise, it's extremely distracting if that many people, they can have access to me that quickly.
Yeah.
So having your notifications set up properly on your phone or your work hours you're set to away when you're not working or, you know, just making sure you're not getting pinged by Slack at 9 p.m. and having that. And then 100%. Setting the expectation that you're going to reply at that hour is another thing.
If
I am very conscious of who I'm replying to and when I'm replying to them because it sets the expectation. And you can do the same thing with email where you might love going through your email in the evening, but use something that schedules the email to go out the next morning, for example, just so they know you're not working at 10 p.m. Those little hacks, I think, are helpful to protect yourself from having clients or customers or whoever expect you to work at all hours of the day. And I think it also helps if you have enough devices. So maybe you have a work computer that sits in one location, like you have an iMac with you have the 5K iMac.
I have a desktop for photo editing.
Better resolution.
It definitely helps me, I think, maintain those boundaries and that schedule a little more easily, because I can't move that behemoth upstairs and sit on the couch and edit. So I have to be in the frame of, okay, I'm going downstairs, I'm going to sit at my desk for X amount of time, and I'm going to do, you know, these specific tasks and things, and then I'm going to get up from my desk, I'm going to leave and you know, leave work downstairs, kind of thing. Versus you can very easily bring your laptop up and kind of couch it and blend the two spaces.
Slacking on my phone, yeah, or replying to email quickly on my phone or what have you, or replying to SwitchPod DMs from potential customers on Instagram, or, you know.
Right.
So,
well, you definitely have more balls in the air than I do at this particular
different businesses
time.
And stuff like that. So if you can have work and personal devices, I think things like iPads are perfect to be more of a personal consumption-based relaxation type of thing for the evening, and not putting work, even apps on that,
yeah,
like your email, like, I don't know, whatever, like photo editing apps or whatever else on that kind of a device. And even if you can take that further to your phone, if you can keep those things off your phone, if you have the ability to do that, especially now we're all basically stuck at home working from home, you don't need those things
on
your phone because you're not going
phone
out and about, yeah, and you need to like check something really quick.
You're not,
you're
on
not
the go
at an airport and you have to like look up your confirmation number to, you know, like the reasons to have email on your phone are not as important anymore when you're 10 feet or 30 feet from the nearest
computer. Yeah.
So making your phone a non-work device, if possible, I think would go a long way mentally towards keeping you sane and being able to separate work and the rest of your life. Because that's the main goal of this, I think, is if you're working from home, it's easy for work to be the only thing that you do, and to not have the separation, and for it to just bleed into all hours of the day and your stress level, and you don't get to relax. And it bleeds into the other people in your space too.
Right. And it's really all about boundaries and communication. And I think boundaries is going to look different for every single person, couple, family right now, depending on what's going on. And, you know, are there two people trying to work from home? Are there kids involved? You know, just the dynamics at play for everybody right now is different.
And I hate to make this whole episode just a tease for the next one, but I wanted to keep them separate. I wanted to keep like working with another person that you're close to and all the dynamics involved with that. I wanted to leave that into a separate episode and leave this one more like,
because they're different,
the environment of working
right
from home.
They're
the
very
boundaries
different. Like you and I have, like I said earlier, we've worked from home together, but separately. And over the years that's taken on many shapes and forms of working on the same thing, working on each other's things, working for each other. But working from home together in each other's space but not working on the same thing
is enough.
And it's something that a lot of people are going through right now. Like my brother and sister-in-law, you know, Tim works for you and works from home, and now she is working from home. So they're both completely working on different things, but they're in each other's physical space and having to figure out how to do that. Or we have another set of friends who have always worked outside the home and have two young kids, and now they're both working from home on, again, different things and trying to take care of two kids under five. So it's just kind of this dance that everybody's having to figure out. And we've been having conversations with people a lot because this is something that we have done for 10 years. And luckily, our day-to-day hasn't really changed that much with what's going on.
Because we're still at home, still working from home.
Right. Yeah. But this is kind of new territory for a lot of people.
So I'd be really curious. This is an episode where I want to hear from you. Not that I don't want to hear from you on other episodes. That's not what I meant. What I mean is that in other episodes, I'm interviewing someone and they tell their story and they give us some tips. But on this episode, I specifically want to hear from you, like how it's going.
Yeah.
So whether you're on my email list and when this podcast goes out, you got emailed about it, or you just want to hit me on Twitter or Instagram or something with a message.
Yeah. Like what's going really well, or what are you struggling through, you know, at this specific time? It's hard.
Yeah. And I don't even think there are really show notes for this episode, there aren't tools or things that we mentioned. I think it's just about communication.
And boundaries.
Yeah, there's not an app that's going to help you work from home better. Other than, I will say one, if distractions are a thing for you, setting up something that limits apps on your phone. So on iPhone, it's built in already. You can limit something. But if you know the passcode, it's only as good as your self-control. So I'm actually going to talk about an app that I use that's called Self-Control on Mac. And I know there are other ones on PC and things like that. But basically, you put in all the websites that you would open a new Chrome or Safari tab to.
To distract yourself. Before you start the thing that you need to start.
Yeah. So for me, that's like The Verge and No Film School. You could even put your email. You could put Gmail in there. Mm-hmm. You could put New York Times or news.google or, you know, whatever people.
Hey.
Reddit.
Right. Read it.
Yeah. You could put whatever is in there that would distract you. And then you set a time period. And I usually go like 4 hours because I have other devices. If I really needed to open up my email, I would walk over to another thing. It's just that twitch of.
I don't want to do the thing that I need to do right now. I'm not ready for it. I want to do something
this instead.
Else.
Yeah. 15, 30 minutes go by and that sort of thing. So that's the only app I'll mention, but I want to hear from you guys. So the best way to reach out to me, if it's more of a private thing, you don't want to put it publicly on social media or something, would just be to go to calebw.com/contact. And then you can email me. I'm just curious how things are going for you. And in the next episode, Jen and I will talk more like therapy style, and we'll talk probably around around real issues a little bit of just like working with spouses and what, and even significant others or friends too.
Friends, I would say spouses.
That would be even harder.
Friends,
I think.
Working as parents,
family.
Now.
Tim is your brother. Yeah. He works with me, so there's a lot of dynamics. Maybe we should have Tim in for an episode about. The brother-brother-in-law relationship of working together. But we'll see you, or you can listen to us in that episode, episode 92, the next one. Thanks for joining me, Jen, and I'll talk to you probably literally in 30 seconds.
Sounds great.